We're going to open up the Word of God this morning to Mark chapter 11, verse 12. The Bible says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. That's Jesus. He became hungry. Seeing at a distance the fig tree, he went to see if it perhaps, notice, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. And look at verse 20. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for this word today. Father, as we go into the subject of tension, I just pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, into our hearts of everyone here today listening online or here physically right now, Lord. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the inner tension of deceit. Inner tension. You see, tension is something that's not always visible from the outside. You don't have to be pulling your hair and sweating and pale and anxious and shaking to say, oh, that person has tension. Believe it or not, sometimes the person that has the biggest smile has the worst tension in their life. Tension is so easy to hide. Tension is so easy to conceal and to cover. So as I read this, it just put into my heart this message that when it comes to tension, so many people are living with it under cover. As Jesus was just walking, he notices this fig tree. And as he begins to look at this tree, he goes to it to see if there was fruit in it, if there were figs in it. And as he got closer to it, he saw nothing. And Jesus, in his frustration or anger or disappointment, I don't know what it was, but Jesus begins to speak to this tree. Now imagine if you're his disciples and you're following Jesus, and all of a sudden you see your teacher, your leader, talking to a tree. You can say, man, Jesus has lost his mind. I don't know what's going on with him, but he's talking to some trees. I can only imagine what Peter is saying, loudmouth Peter, looking at Jesus, talking at a tree. And as he begins to speak to this tree, he begins to curse it and say, may you never bear fruit ever. May no one ever enjoy you. And the tree withered and died shortly after. When I began to read this passage, I thought to myself, what was it that angered Jesus so much when he looked at this tree? What was it that frustrated him? What was it that got him to the point to stop and speak and curse this tree? What was it that just got Jesus in this position to say, I need to curse this tree? And I really believe as I read this, what drove Jesus to anger, what drove Jesus to curse this tree, was that it had no fruit. But here's a question. The Bible says that it was out of season, so it wasn't supposed to have any fruit. So why did Jesus get so upset over something so natural? And here's why. It's because as Jesus was walking, he sees this fig tree, and now fig trees are interesting trees. Because fig trees, when they mature, they take a long time to mature. They take a long time to grow. And when they grow, they produce fruit maybe once or twice in a year. And as a fig tree begins to grow and mature, one of the indications that a fig tree has fruits is that it has leaves. What's interesting about a fig tree is that the leaves of a fig tree will grow with the fruit. Some fig trees, actually, the fruit grow first, then the leaves. But whatever the reason, whenever you saw a fig tree with leaves, it always meant it had fruit. So when Jesus was hungry and he looks across and he sees this fig tree and it has leaves on it, Jesus and everyone else that saw this fig tree knew this has to be a tree with fruit. I'm hungry and I'm going to go eat. So when Jesus got to this tree that was covered in leaves, looking impressive, looking mature, looking beautiful, looking fruitful, but as he got closer to it and he examined the inside of that tree, it had no fruit whatsoever. So the tree was an imposter. The tree was deceitful. The tree was not truly what it was demonstrating to be. Are you guys with me this morning? So when Jesus looked at this tree, I believe what angered him the most was the deception of looking what you're not. It was the deception of looking fruitful and actually not being fruitful that got Jesus to this point where he compared it to how so many people lived their lives. You see, there were so many people that Jesus encountered that on the outside they looked religious, on the outside they looked perfect, on the outside they looked happy and whole and complete, but on the inside they were filled with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and sin. And Jesus looked at this as a picture of how so many people are living their lives. You see, when Jesus looked at this tree and he sees it from a distance, it appeared fruitful, it appeared to be beautiful, but it was barren. It was only a show. It only looked impressive. It only looked mature, but it wasn't. This is what deception is all about. Deception is the practice of being something you're not. Deception is the practice of displaying a false impression. And we live in such a sad world today that when you look at everyone today, we have all this tension inside of us that we keep hidden because we're always obligated to look impressive. We live in a society that you can't tell someone what you're really going through. You can't tell someone what you really feel inside. You can't tell someone the struggles that you have in your personal life. You can't come to church and tell people you have addictions. You can't come to church and tell people you're fighting in your marriage. You can't tell anyone in your life that you have problems because there's this tension inside of us and this pressure to constantly look impressive. And we spend all this time looking the part and never being the part. And there's no greater tension, I believe, than the tension someone feels of covering up the truth of who you really are and always trying to look right and be right and trying to look impressive when deep down inside you know that the only reason people admire you is because they think you're someone that you know you're really not. There is no greater pressure than the pressure of deception. There is no greater tension than the tension someone feels inside when they feel a need to cover up who they really are. So I wonder this morning how many people go to church every Sunday morning looking impressive, looking mature, looking happy, but inside they're broken. See, seeing this passage of scripture reminds me that I think there's nothing that saddens God more than a person that rather conceal and cover and hide and remain fruitless than a person that will come truth to God and say, Lord, this is who I really am. This is what I really struggle with. This is what I really have in my life. I'm tired of hiding it. I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of looking impressive with when everything on the outside looks good. But Lord, everything on the inside in my life is falling apart. Galatians 5:22. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When the Spirit of God lives inside you, You're like that fig tree. You begin to grow, but it takes time. How many of you know it's taking you time to grow and mature in the Lord? I think all hands should go up right now. Don't be pointing at someone saying, no, this one. Yeah, this one needs to mature. The reality is this is what our spiritual lives look like. The fruit of the Spirit. Fruits don't happen instantly. Fruits don't just happen upon you giving your life over to Jesus. The reality is that fruit is a product only after of development and maturity. So we have to stop putting this pressure that just because you're struggling right now for love, you're struggling right now to have joy, just because you're struggling to have peace and patience right now, let me just tell you, in the name of Jesus, God is not mad at you. He understands that you need time. I'm tired of people feeling this pressure that they have to be perfect and mature right away. That's why I love this church. I love this church for that reason, because when I look at people, I say, what a fig. And I don't get mad at you. I don't say, man, you've been in four for 3-4 years and you're still struggling with that. The truth is, God is patient, but He's not passive. And the Bible says when the Spirit of God comes to live inside you, it begins to show in these attitudes, in these attributes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside you. Here's the problem with this. When you look at these are all attitudes. And the problem with attitudes is that they're easy to fake. Amen? How many of you know you can fake love? Anyone? Have you ever been faked out by love? Someone told you they loved you, but it wasn't true? You can fake love. You can fake joy. You can come in all happy and smiling and looking all joyful, and the truth is you're miserable. You can fake joy. You can fake peace. You can fake your little patience walking all humbly. You know what I'm talking about. These are all attitudes that are so easy to fake. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to fake living like this when God actually wants to make this true in your life. God actually wants to make you a person of love. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to experience peace. He wants you to have gentleness and patience and self-control. You don't have to fake it. He can give you this in victory over your life today. So we have to realize that all of these attitudes are so easy to fake. We try to look joyful. We try to look faithful. We try to look impressive with our self-control. I believe that in the church today, there's so many people that are like this fig tree Jesus encountered. We become more concerned with the appearance of godliness. And we become more concerned only with the appearance of holiness rather than actually being godly and being holy. And I wonder how many of you came to church this morning with your leaves. You came to church this morning because it's Sunday. It's time to put your best leaf on. You know what I'm talking about. You can't raise your hand because you got to look impressive. You see? If I raise my hand, they'll know I'm struggling with love. If I raise my hand, they're going to know that I don't have so much patience. Can we all just put the leaves down today? And let's bear it all. It's going to get ugly today. God bless you. So we look at these leaves and we put them on. And as we put these leaves on in our lives, we just do it so that people will never know what we really struggle with on the inside. I wonder how many marriages are covered in leaves today. How many marriages only try so hard to look like they're united and together and they're just in love and peaceful. How many marriages are just there with the pressure and the tension of not letting people know, oh, we're fine, we're happy, we're in love, we're holding hands, we're taking pictures on Facebook. Look at us, we're so happy and in love. Look at us, we don't fight ever because we're around the kids, obviously. And your marriage looks perfect because it's all a show. But deep down inside, there's anger. You're insulting one another. You're just not spending time with each other. And there's conflict and there's friction. But when people come around, you put the leaves on and you pretend like your marriage is full of love. It's full of peace. It's full of kindness and goodness and gentleness. Oh, I love my husband. I love my wife. But underneath the leaves, if they only knew the truth when you bear it all, you don't know what you're going through. You don't know the struggle that we have in our marriages today. And rather than bring our marriages to the Lord for healing, we just bring them in leaves and covering. Faithfulness is so easy to fake. I wonder how many people go to church faking their faithfulness. You walk around with your Bible, you worship, you use all this Christian language so that people would think that you're so spiritual and holy and faithful to God, and you smile, but deep down inside, those are all leaves. And when you bear it all inside your heart, there's personal sin in your life you can't get rid of. There's anxiety, there's fear, there's doubt, there's addiction, there's discouragement, there's all this. You don't even spend time with the Lord. You only look faithful on Sunday, but what do the leaves show on Monday? Come Monday, if people only knew how far away from God I really am, if people only knew the sin that I have in my personal life, if people only knew the doubt that I have in the Lord right now, but because I'm in church, I have to look like I'm faithful. I have to look like I trust God. I have to look like me and God are so close right now. There is no greater tension than the tension of deception. Trying to look impressive in the church. Trying to look impressive in your relationships. And so many of you, we just practice. How many of you know that self-control is easy to fake? You fake it because the only reason you have self-control is because the pastor's watching. The only reason you have self-control is because someone is around you. The only reason you have self-control is because you don't want to lose your job. But if you could for just one moment, you might stab someone or two. And we're just looking like we have self-control. You know, you have self-control in the way that you speak and your actions. And because I'm in church, let me just practice my self-control. But when no one's watching, you're a monster. When no one's watching you on the Palmetto at 4 o'clock tomorrow, and you're telling people they're number one, you're just using the wrong finger. God bless you. You're faking self-control. You're all nice and perfect in the grocery store until the aisle light turns on and there's an empty aisle. Then you run over people to get there first. And you know that person behind you has two items and you have 50, but you don't care. Because I'm not in church. I don't need to fake this. Wonder how many people are like this fig tree. You spend so much time and effort and looking impressive. Looking what you know you're not. Looking fruitful when you're not. And I know deep down inside, you have a desire to be real with your love and your peace and your joy and your patience and your kindness and your goodness. How would your life change if these fruits were real in your daily life? Imagine how your relationship would flourish if this were really you. But the problem is you've settled to just look this way instead of actually being this way. You see, God hates fig leaves. He hates it. And it's no wonder that Jesus cursed this tree. And later on, it just faded, withered, and died. Here's the truth about this. Deception can only take you so far, so long. But there comes a point, like this fig tree, You begin to dry up. You begin to wither and be weaker. And you'll die this way. And it's so sad because this fig tree that Jesus was talking to could have been something different. Could have been flourishing, could have been fruitful. But for some reason, I don't know why, this fig tree decided to only look fruitful instead of being fruitful. And so many of you, I know you're tired of being, of looking fruitful. I know you have all this tension of looking impressive because someone is watching, because you have to make a certain friend like you, because you have to know that everyone has to know that you're okay, you're perfect. That's why whenever we ask someone, hey, how are you doing? Our first response is to say, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm fine. And we can't just tell people the truth because it is in our nature to always look impressive and strong. So I want to ask you this morning, like this fig tree, from a distance, you look strong, you look happy, you look impressive, you look fruitful, you look spiritual. But I want to ask you this morning, like that fig tree, if Jesus would get close enough to you and look at you right now on the inside, what would he truly find in you? Or better yet, what would he not find in you? If you get close enough to Jesus, because the Bible says that man looks at the outside, meaning man is only concerned with the appearance. But God looks at the heart. So God is not looking at your show right now. God is not looking at how good you look right now. He's not looking at your nice shoes and your hair and how beautiful you look this Sunday because you do, amen. But I understand that. He's not impressed with how much you know about the Bible, how many church services you go to. He's not impressed with that. When Jesus looks at you, he looks at your heart and he wants to know who you really are. What do you really struggle with? If Jesus got close enough to you, what would he find? If he would lift up the leaves, because in every fig tree, the fruits are behind the leaves. So when you lift up the leaves, knowing that Jesus, he got the leaves and he looked under it. If God would look under you right now, not over you, but under you, would he find bitterness because of someone that hurt you, took advantage of you? But you never tell anyone, you never talk about it, you hide it with smiles and laughter, but deep down inside you struggle with unforgiveness. If Jesus took a better look at you, would there be fear and anxiety? But you can't tell anyone you have worry, because you're a Christian, and Christians never get worried. Did you know that? What if Jesus looked close into your heart, and he lifts up the leaves, and he finds guilt over the sins of your past? But you can't tell God about it. You can't tell your pastor about it. You can't tell anyone about it because you have to look impressive. He looks at your heart and he sees anger and he sees insecurity and he sees doubt. But we just resolve to say, Lord, I don't want to fix it. I just want to hide it. I don't want to fix this problem. I don't want to fix this addiction. I don't want to fix my marriage. I don't want to fix my family. I don't want to fix my health. I just want to hide it. But you can't hide it for so long because eventually you will wither. It will dry you up. That's why so many people, I'm convinced, leave the church because they feel terrible about faking who they are in church when there's someone at home. So they'd rather stay at home because there's so much intense pressure and tension and deception. From a distance, you know, you might look at someone with a smile and assume that they're fine. But sadly, that's not always the truth. I'll prove to you that God hates fig leaves. Genesis 3:7. Adam and Eve sinned. Like us, they made a lot of mistakes. They lived in a perfect world, had a perfect marriage, perfect relationship with God. They stumbled. How many of you relate to stumbling once in a while? Not always doing the right thing. When they sinned, their eyes were open with shame and guilt. The Bible says the eyes of both of them were opened. They knew they were naked. And they sewed what? What type of leaves were they? Fig. See, fig leaves, to me, always represent deception. Secret. Hide it. I believe that the devil was talking to them here. And said, oh my God, you're naked. You feel guilty, don't you? You feel shame, don't you? You should never have done that. Why did you listen to me? I thought you loved God. You should never have crossed this line. But hey, let me help you. Why don't you grab those fig leaves? Cover up your nakedness. And just run away from God. Hide. Since the beginning of time, Satan has wanted God's children to live in sin, secret, and deception. Hide. So Adam's like, thank you. He covered her and he covered himself, and they ran and they hid from God because Satan had convinced them, if God really knew who you really were now, Adam, he'd probably kill you. So just spend the rest of your life here in this garden just hiding from God. A lot of us have stumbled. You've made mistakes. You've crossed the line. You've done things you're not proud of. You're ashamed of certain things and habits you have right now. Don't you know that the devil's still practicing the same game today with God's children? He's telling God's children, you messed up, you're guilty, you're ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know what you need to do is rather than run to God, you need to run away from God. You need to hide this because if people found out that you did this, if people knew that you struggled with this, if people really found out that this is who you really are, no one's ever going to accept you for this. No one's ever going to forgive you for this. No one's ever going to love you. So you need to be alone right now. You need to be away from God right now. And you need to just hide and be deceitful and grab the fig leaves. And God called out to Adam. Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He wasn't talking physically. He was talking spiritually and emotionally. Adam, where are you? What if God right now just is calling you? Because maybe like Adam, you can't remember the last time you were real with God. And you're hiding the truth of who you really are. And you have these struggles that you're ashamed of. And that if anyone ever found out, they would just reject me. You see, God knows where you're at. God knows exactly where you're at. You can't hide from God. There's nothing you have concealed that God is not aware of. There's nothing you're struggling with that God doesn't know. You see, the reason that God asked him, where are you, is not because God didn't know where he was. It's because he wanted Adam to confess it for himself where he was. And if you would get real with God, it might sound like this. God, this is where I'm at. It's not real. I struggle with this sin. I like this sin. I am feeling ashamed, God. I'm feeling discouraged, God. God, I don't trust you right now. God, never, ever. You know a feeling that God never knows? God doesn't know what it's like to be surprised. Not one time did God ever go, oh, what? You're afraid? You sinned? I didn't know. Those were some good fig leaves, Adam, because you had me fooled. How dumb did Adam look covering himself? When it was just God in that garden. But God knew where he was. Just like God knows where you're at. He heard God's voice first. That's what's happening to you right now in this service. The Holy Spirit is calling you. You know where you're at. You know where you're at right now. You know this isn't who you are. You know you're only faking those fruits. And Adam had to come out and face God. And what I love about this is the Bible says that God covered him. God took an innocent animal in that garden. Because he said he got the skin of an animal. Meaning, God got an innocent animal, slayed it to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. What a picture of Jesus Christ. The innocent lamb that was slain for our sin and transgressions. So that we wouldn't have to live a life of secretness and hiding and deception. God said, Adam, if you only came to me first, I would have covered you a long time ago. Why did you feel a need to run from God? Why did you feel a need to hide from me? I believe it's because they were hearing the voice of the enemy telling them, separate yourselves from God and remain hiding your sin. That's why Jesus cursed this fig tree. Because it was all impressive. It was all a show. In that vineyard, in that garden, wherever that fig tree was, it looked better than all the other fig trees that were bare. You know what's interesting about this? There were other fig trees around there in that region. But they didn't have leaves. Only this one did. So as I close, I want you to really think about this. Jesus cursed this one tree that looked better than all the other ones. And I wondered, I said, well, Jesus, why didn't you just curse all the other trees? They were worse off than this one. At least this one looked nice. At least this one looked leafy and impressive. But here's the truth. God loves honesty. God loves the truth. And if these fig trees can talk, they would tell you, hey, I may not be as impressive. I may not be as fruitful. I may be struggling right now to mature and to grow. But at least I'm real with God. You have a choice. You're going to be that other tree that says, I'm just going to look impressive, but not be and not have the truth of the fruits. Or like those other trees and say, listen, God, I have struggles. I'm weak. I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. But I'm still here. I wonder who you're going to be today. The Bible says it was out of season. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, hey, you're out of season right now. You're out of season. Meaning, don't be so hard on yourself because you're not the most fruitful tree in the forest or you're not the most fruitful in the church. Don't be so hard on yourself because you're struggling to love right now. Don't be so hard on yourself because you have a lack of self-control. God hates the fact that we hide because of shame. When we have a God that says, I will cover you. And so many of you can't enjoy your relationship with Jesus because you think what Jesus wants is impressive. If Jesus wanted impressive, none of us would be here now. What Jesus wants is honesty. And you come to Jesus just as you are. You're out of season. But God is patient. In Luke 13, 6 through 8, there's a parable that Jesus speaks of a fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. He said, he told him this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in the vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he didn't find any. And he said, the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even have to use up the ground? But notice what happened. The man answered him and said, let it alone. For this year too, until I dig around it and put fertilizer in it. When Jesus told his parable, the owner of the vineyard was representing God. We were representing that fig tree. For a long time, I mean, for 3 years. Imagine if God says, you've been in four for 3 years and you still struggle with that sin. You've been going to Bible study for 3 years and you still have that attitude. You've known me for 3 years and you're still in that same mess. Cut it down. But the servant steps in and says, no. Let me work on it. Jesus was that servant that intervened when God should have cut us down because of our sin. Jesus stepped in and said, no, let me work on him. And he says, let me dig around it. See, when fig trees don't grow, the only reason a fig tree doesn't grow is because the soil around it has become hardened. And when that soil is so hard that water can't get in, it cannot grow. When you dig around a fig tree, it will produce fruit. What's my point? The reason that so many people don't grow, don't become fruitful, don't change, is because their hearts, because in the Bible, soil represents your heart. And your heart has become so hardened, maybe by an experience, maybe by sin, maybe by a problem, but your heart is so hard right now that you have not let God in. But when you let Jesus in, he will begin to fill you and pour into your life, that you will begin to mature and grow. And it won't be instant. It won't happen right away. So you say, Pastor, I've been a Christian for 5 years. Yes, God knows it, but he's not going to cut you down. You say, Pastor, I've been listening to you for years, and I still have this addiction. Yes, you do. God is patient, but he is not passive. He will cut you. But he says, let my servant in. Why don't we get real with ourselves and say, Jesus, come work in my heart. Because I'm tired of faking these fruits. I'm out of season. I'm struggling to love. I'm struggling to have peace. I'm struggling to have self-control. I'm struggling to have joy and kindness. And Jesus says, I'll work in you. I'll dig around you. I'll work in your heart. I'll intervene. But you have to let me in. Are you going to stay looking impressive? Stay faking and deceiving everyone that you're someone you're not? Or are you finally, once and for all, going to give Jesus your life? Your heart? I mean, 3 years is a long time, don't you think? How long are you going to be in this church until you just say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you a chance? How long are you going to listen to me online until you finally say, okay, Lord, I need your help? Because notice, the Bible says it is the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit is the helper. You know what? All that attitude that represents godliness, you need help in. No one can have the fruits of the Spirit by themselves. That's why so many people fail, because they say to themselves, I'm trying. You ever use that excuse? Well, I'm trying to love, but you don't know the struggle. I'm trying to have self-control. I'm tired. I'm trying to be kind. But here's the problem. You're doing it on your own, but the Spirit says you need my help. So if you're that fig tree that's not fruitful, that's not growing, and you don't want to be cut down, let Jesus in and let Him work on that heart that is so hardened right now. Because you're out of season. But there will come a time that you will grow. You will mature. You will be fruitful. But you let God in. And stop the tension of deceitfulness. I love the fact that Jesus just illustrates here how patient God is with us. How many are grateful for the patience of the Lord, knowing that God should have cut us a long time ago? Give Him praise for that. It makes sense now why Jesus stayed with His disciples, because had it been me, I would have fired those fools a long time ago. You know, I thought about like Peter, for example, when the Roman soldiers came and they knew that this was Jesus and those were His followers, and Peter just pulls out a knife and he cuts a guy. I can imagine Jesus saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, he's out of season right now. Still working on it. Still growing, Peter. Why? I told you to drop everything, even the knife, and follow me." But Peter was out of season. He needed to grow and he needed to mature in his love. And before you know it, he got rid of that anger and that attitude. And he was preaching one sermon and reaching 2,000 people. See, when you're patient and you keep walking with the Lord, there will come a time that your fruits will come out. But don't you quit because you're out of season. Peter tried to quit because he was out of season. But Jesus came back and called him again. Because once you have been called by Jesus, no matter how you may be living, He says, "I will not give up on you. You are coming with me because I have great plans for your life." So stop trying to look impressive. Stop trying to fake this walk with the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to make this real." Think about James, another disciple of Jesus, and when he didn't like what people were saying to Jesus, and they just didn't welcome Jesus. And James and John went up to Jesus and whispered, hey, Jesus, you want me to pray fire and kill everyone?" He's like, "Whoa! What's wrong with you? You are so out of season right now. You got to have more patience. Yeah, people aren't going to welcome you, but it doesn't mean you burn them alive. Oh, for that you pray?" We're like that. Some of you never pray only when you're in trouble or you want God to take care of someone. Out of season, say, "I'm out of season, Pastor, pray for me." Don't go excusing your sin now saying, "Oh, Pastor says I'm out of season, so party on." I know, my church. But here's the truth. If you're ever offended by someone, especially in the church, why don't you remind yourself that that person's out of season? And they're still growing. Because like that person that's out of season, you were once out of season yourself and God was patient with you. So we need to be patient with others because the Word of God says, "Forgive as you've been forgiven." I don't get amens for that one. But we need to stop looking at people for what they're not. And we need to stop being fruit inspectors in the church. You know, no one called you for that position. That's not a position that God ever said, "Okay, you're a fruit inspector. You're a pastor. You're a fruit inspector." Nah. We got to stop saying, "I can't believe this person said that." Well, they're out of season. What's there not to believe? Am I preaching truth today to someone? Or even Thomas, another disciple, who didn't believe that Jesus resurrected. Out of season, struggling with his faith. Jesus comes up to him and says, "Here, touch me." He didn't say, "Oh, wow, I can't believe you didn't believe. What kind of disciple are you?" So if you're struggling with attitudes and anger and dissent, you know, the last thing God wants from you is to say, "Hey, I'm just going to cover it. And live this way." Don't settle for that. Say, "Lord, fix my heart. Dig around me. Because I don't want to live this life in deception anymore. See, God is very patient. He's not passive. He doesn't say, listen, stay living this way. Stay living. We have to stop thinking that love and grace is an excuse to sin. We have to stop that. But understand that God is patient. We need to stand in the middle with God. Because there's one church that says God hates you. You're the worst person in the world. You're going to hell. You're going to die. You're horrible. There's the other loopy people in the church that say God is loving. God is mercy. God is graceful. I can do what I want. Why don't we just stand in the middle here at Forward and say, okay, God is love. God is just. God is merciful. But God's not going to put up with my sin. God is patient. But God will deal with me if I don't quit this now. But let's just start being real with God. Because the greatest tension in life today is the tension of deception. Jesus has intervened and said, listen, I will work in your heart. I will help you to grow and mature. But you have to stop this deceitful lie that you are the fruit when you know you're not. You guys received this word this morning? You're here this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Father, break the soil. Break the hearts now, Lord. If you're here this morning, I want to pray with you. You're saying, Pastor, if people only knew what I really am, if people only knew that behind the laughter and the smile and the raising of my hands and the holding of my Bible, if they only knew what I really struggle with in my personal life, if I would bear it all right now, underneath the leaves, there might be bitterness and anger and addiction, doubt and discouragement and guilt. But you put on your Sunday best, thinking that's what God wants. But see, God wants to change you from the inside so that it proves itself on the outside. It's an inner working that expresses itself on the outside. It's your choice today. You're going to leave this church still under the tension of deception. Or you're going to get real with God, like Adam, and say, here I am. Now, Lord, work in my heart. Maybe for the first time today, you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life once and for all. You don't know what God has for you until you surrender to Him your life. God cannot begin to work in a person that has not surrendered his life to Him. So if you're here this morning saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Understand that God loves you. Our sin has caused us to be separated from God, but God in His mercy sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. So for whoever believes that Jesus is Lord and He died on the cross for their sin, they will be saved. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest. The only rest you have is when you have come to Jesus. If this is you this morning, I want to lead you in this prayer. But first, would you show me your hands and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time today because I'm ready to just surrender my life to Him. God bless you. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. I've been praying for you for a long time. And if you're here right now today, and saying, Pastor, I'm walking with Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. I'm that fig tree. I gave my life to Jesus years ago. For years I've been in this, but I still struggle with anger. I'm still struggling with depression. I'm still struggling with addiction and sin. I know that I'm saved. I know that I love Jesus. But Pastor, right now, I'm under the leaves. Maybe your heart has gotten hardened. In order for water to be poured in, the soil first must be broken. So maybe today God needs to break your heart again, to pour into you again, so He may continue the work of what He's doing. If this is you today, this isn't one of those services where you'd have to feel ashamed and embarrassed. And if I raise my hand, they're going to know. Listen, all of us need this message. There is no one in this church or listening online that would say today, this message was not for me, because all of us have sinned. The Bible says not one of us is good. So let's put the leaves down for a moment and bear it all before Jesus. If this is you today, you need to be broken by the Lord today, would you raise your hand and say, God bless you. See you there all around the room. Can we all stand to our feet today? I want to do something. As Frankie leads us in this song of worship, I don't always do an altar call, but I think that this is one of those messages that require your actions to match your words. If you're saying today, God, I want you to break me of my sin. I want you to break me of my addictions. I want you to break me because I'm tired of deception. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of being someone I'm not. And the tension of being impressive, Lord, is just drying me up and I'm withering right now. You need to match your words and you need to come to this altar today. If you're here today, those who raise their hands and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. The Bible says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you. So can we give those a round of applause and say today they're making Jesus the Lord of their life? Come on now. This is why we're a church. You come to this altar right now and you say, Pastor, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Come on, keep your hands going. Impress these guys. And you come to this altar right now, wherever you're at. There is no shame. You're giving your life. I've been praying for you two forever. Give God praise for them today. God bless them. You come to this altar right now. As Frankie leads us in this heart of worship, and maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm not the altar type. That's cool. That's fine. Because God will meet you at your chair. God will meet you in front of your computer screen or in your car right now. You're listening to me. That CD your friend gave you. This is why. Because you know you are a liar. But God loves you anyway. Let's pray together. You can give God praise for those here today who give their life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Would you grab the hand of that person next to you today? We're going to join hands here today. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for this word. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can be real and honest and still experience your love and your mercy. Father, thank you for the two new souls that are coming into your kingdom today. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for anyone here that they're under the leaves right now. The smile and the laughter and the confident walk is just a show. But deep down inside in their heart, they're broken. They're in bondage. I pray, Lord, that in your time, you will dig around their heart, cause them to grow and to mature, so that who they're pretending to be will actually be who they really are someday. Father, keep this church in your path. Let this church flourish with more people that need fruit. And we thank you for this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God some praise this morning. Great time to be here, guys.